Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos, Pirkei Avos weekly shiur, where we are delving into different lessons and insights based on the wisdom of our sages in Pirkei Avos. Tonight's shiur is twofold. Number one, it is sponsored for Zchus Refuah Shalema for Zev Ben Leah. He should have a complete Refuah Shalema and Rachmei Shemaim Besoch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. It is also Susie Fonfeder is co-sponsoring in a Zechira Neshama, an Aliyah Neshama, for her brother Moshe Yehoshua ben Yehuda. The Yurtzeit is Dalet Av, for Av. The Neshama should have an Aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning, and we should always share Simchas. And Bizeucha to sponsor Shi'urim and Torah in honor of Simchas for all of Klal Yisrael as we move through this month of this mournful, difficult time period of mourning. So my shiur tonight is based on one small teaching in Pirkei Avos, and very much so on Inyanei Deyoma. And I figured that since it is, we are in the 9 days, Wednesday was Rosh Chodesh Av, so it's not Shkia yet, so it's still Beis Av, and we are rapidly approaching our mournful day of Tisha B'Av. Eicha, we'll read Eicha. Devarim is always read the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, and I actually want to talk about the word Eicha. I just want to make sure my recorder is on. Okay, so I want to talk about the word Eicha, and I'm going to screen share so that I can show you the beginning of the Megillah, Lamentations in English, because it's a lament, it's a cry. Eicha yashva badad ha'ira basi am. Alas, she sits in solitude, the city that was so full of people. Haisa ka'almana, she has become like a widow. Rabasi bagayim, sarasi bamedinos, haisalamas. The one that was so great amongst the nations, that was a sar, that was a princess amongst the provinces, has become a tributary, she has become a tax. Bacho tivche balayla v'dimasa alachia. She cries, Yerushalayim is alive, Tzion is a persona. She cries at night, her tears are upon her cheeks. Ein la menachem, mikol oaveh. There is no one to comfort her from all of her lovers. Kol ra'eho bagdubo. All of her friends committed a treason, a trespass, betrayed her. Hayula la'oivim. Those who we thought are our friends. When the truth comes out, we see how many friends we really have from the umos ha'olam. Gol sa Yehuda me'oni, umeirov avoda hi yishva b'goyim. Yehuda has been exiled from affliction, and from much work she sits amongst the nations. Lo matza manoach, she cannot find rest. Kol rod fehi siguha, her pursuers overtook her. Bein hamitzarim, this time period that we are in is named after this phrase in Eicha, we are between the straits. One more pasuk. Darchi tzion avelus mibli b'moed. The ways of Tzion, the path, the roads of Tzion are in mourning. There is no one coming up on the Yamim Tovim. There's no one coming up on the Moedim. Kol she'areha shomeimim. Her gates are deserted. Kohanei na'achim, na'enachim. Her kohanim sigh. B'sulosehin nugunos. Her virgins are afflicted. V'hi marla. And she is so bitter. The whole representation of Tisha B'Av, which is the climax of this period of Bein HaMitzarim, is encapsulated in this one word, Eicha. What does Eicha mean? Rav Soloveitchik says, the word Eicha is a synopsis. The word Eicha is the main motif, the characteristic word, the quintessence of the main question of Tisha B'Av. Chazal attribute a special significance to the word Eicha. The word appears in three well-known places in Tanakh. One, by Moshe Rabbeinu. And you'll see where I'm going with this in this week's Parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parsha's Devarim, Eicha Esa Lovadi. And we're soon going to look at that pasuk more in depth. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how alone can I carry? One time it was said by Yirmiyahu, like we read in Megillas Eicha, Eicha Yashva Badar Ha'ir Rabasi Am, like we just saw in the Pesukim. At one time by Yeshayahu, Eicha Haisa Lizona. Kri'an emana, the faithful city has become like a zona. What does Eicha represent? What does the word Eicha mean? What are we saying when we cry, when we sigh, when we groan Eicha? Rav Soloveitchik says, when I say Eicha, how is it possible, Eicha? How did this happen? How is it possible? Yashva badad? Ha'ira Basiam, the city that was so full of people, sits in solitude. I am confirming by implication that it is impossible. Eicha represents, says Rav Soloveitchik, so much despair. Eicha represents such a complete lack of understanding that I do not begin to know how it can be possible. Interestingly, the first time you see this, so Echa represents the whole motif. It doesn't only mean how is it possible. It means I can't wrap my head around how this could be possible. How did this happen to Yerushalayim and Sion? How did this happen to the Beis HaMikdash? How did this happen to Knesset Yisrael? How is it that millennia later we are still in this horrible, it is a horrible galus. Any way you cut it, it's horrible. How did this happen? Echa, Echa, Echa. And by definition, it means I can't understand how it's possible. It's a question of astonishment. The first time we see the word appear actually in Chumash is way before Moshe Rabbeinu, like Rav Soloveitchik mentions, in Sefer Devarim at the end of his life. Let us go back now to the beginning of Bereishis. Perek Aleph is the creation of the world. Perek Beis, Isha, Adam is created. The rivers, the tributaries, some more elements, Isha is created. So in Perek Beis, man and woman are created. In Perek Gimel, that man and woman sinned. Along comes the Nachash, the primordial serpent. Did God tell you you can't eat from the tree? I don't know. Maybe you don't have to listen. They eat from the tree. We all know how that goes over. Not so well. What happens immediately after they eat from the tree? The woman sees that the tree is good for eating. It is desirable for the eyes. It's so pleasing to contemplate. She listens to the Nachash. She takes the fruit and she eats it. She gives it to her husband. She's not going down alone. And he eats it too. And immediately after the sin, their eyes are opened. Rashi says they have a degree of understanding. They were naked before the sin. They're naked after the sin. Rashi says they are naked of mitzvot. They had one mitzvah to keep and they messed up. They sew a fig leaf and they make for themselves belts. So they cover themselves. And they hear the voice of Hashem God walking in the garden by the spirit of the day and they hide from Hashem. And what is the first thing? Unbelievable. The first thing the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Adam in the aftermath of sin. The first word. Vayikra Hashem Elokim El Adam. Hashem Elokim called to Adam. Vayomer lo. And he said to him, what's the first thing that he said? Look at the word that I just bolded for you. The first question in the Torah appears in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes. Now, if you look at this word, Ayako, where are you? But a Sefer Torah does not have nekudos. It does not have punctuation. Sefer Torah has the Osios HaKodesh. And if you would look at a Sefer Torah, you would see no distinction between this word Ayaka and Moshe Rabbeinu's Echa in Sefer Devarim. Because it's hard not to notice that without Nekudos, Ayaka spells Echa. Everyone could see that Ayaka is Echa. So there's a rule, there's a principle in Lashon HaKodesh. If words have the same shoresh, or words are the same, it means there's a connection, even if it doesn't seem to be on surface value that there's a connection. So the first time we encounter Echa in the Torah is way back by Maaseh Bereishis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes, and Hashem Elokim called to Adam in the aftermath of sin. And he said to him, Ayaka, where are you? And Adam said, oh, I heard your voice in the garden. I was so afraid. I'm naked, so I was hiding. And God said, who told you you were naked? Perchance, did you eat from the tree, the fruit of the tree that I told you not to eat from? What is Ayaka? Where are you? And what does it have to do with Echa? Because it's not a coincidence, chas v'shalom, that Ayaka and Echa are the exact same letters. And that means there has to be a lesson here. What's the lesson? Before I answer that question, I will tell you a parable that Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over in his Parsha Parables. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky in his Parsha Parables tells over the following humorous but sad story. He always asks a question on Chumash, then he answers with a mashal or a story or a parable, and then he resolves the answer. This appears in Parsha Parables. Mordechai Kamenetsky writes that every day on a construction scene, there was a certain worker. I guess it was really in the olden days when they took tin metal lunchboxes, and they would be high up on the scaffold, and they were building buildings in New York City. And every day in the highest level of the scaffolds, the construction workers would sit down at their lunch break, and one particular man every day would take out his tin lunchbox, open it up, and he would sigh, peanut butter and jelly again. Every day, he complained about the peanut butter and jelly again. Finally, one day, his co-workers couldn't take it anymore, and they said to him, I don't understand. If you don't like peanut butter and jelly, why don't you tell your wife to make you a different sandwich? So the man said, it's not so simple. My wife doesn't prepare my lunches. I prepare my lunches. That's a message in the story. Sometimes we know we need to change. We know we don't like the peanut butter and jelly. We might have a particular midah we need to work on, a particular action in Avodas Hashem. Maybe my benching's not up to par, whatever it is, fill in the blanks. Everyone has something to work on, or you're not a human being. Mara says there are only four who didn't sin, and it wasn't us. Sometimes we're aware of the issue, but we don't want to confront it. We don't want to change. It's just easier to make peanut butter and jelly every single day than to think of facing the unknown and think of facing change. Why does this have to do with Ayaka and Echa? Soloveitchik says, what's the connection between Hashem's Ayaka and Echa? Soloveitchik says, because Hashem asked Adam, where are you? What was Hashem asking Adam? He wasn't geographically asking Adam, where are you? Because God knew geographically where Adam was. He was asking Adam to take a cheshbon and nefesh. Where are you spiritually in life? Are you pleased with your spiritual level? Maybe you want to stop and make a din v'cheshbon and take an accounting and analyze yourself. Look at yourself and think to yourself, how can I change? Do I want to change? How can I repent? How can I be better? It's no accident that Echa and Av immediately precede Elul in the time of Teshuvah. Ayaka, the first question was Hashem asking Adam, look at yourself spiritually, and if you're not happy with yourself, stop and change. Unfortunately, Adam does not live up to the task. Adam blames everyone but himself. It wasn't me, it was her. She says it wasn't me, it was the Nachash. Adam is kicked out of Garden of Eden. Adam is sent into exile because he can't answer the question of Ayaka. God doesn't mean, are you hiding in the trees and what's your geographic location and coordinates on the map in the Garden of Eden? Where am I in Ruchnias? Where am I in my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Where am I in Torah and Mitzvos? Where am I in Midos Tovos? And if something isn't good and if I'm sick of peanut butter and jelly, then change the spread. Rav Soloveitchik says, Hashem asked Adam, where are you? And Adam did not confess to his sin. Rav Soloveitchik says there will always be destruction accompanied by lamentation. The call from God, Ayaka, is not limited to Adam's sin. The call of God to all of us comes quite frequently through history and through events in one's private life. Says Rav Soloveitchik, do we answer the call or do we ignore the call? If man does not answer the call of Ayaka, says the Rav, he will be destined to say Echa. Just like Adam. Adam did not answer the call of Ayaka. It wasn't me, it was her. Aisha Shanasatan Ima Dihinas Nali Min Aids Vocha. You shouldn't have given her me the woman. You gave me the woman, she gave me the food, I ate it. It's your fault. It was a kofar tova, says Rashi. And he says to Isha, what did he do? She says, I don't know. A nachash ishiyani. The nachash convinced me. What'd you make a nachash for? Instead of saying I am responsible for my actions, they all went and blamed somebody else. And what was their punishment? Golos. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. If we can't hear the call of the Ribbono Shel Olam saying Ayaka, and never mind here, if we can't answer the call of Ayaka, says the Rav, we will be forced to say Echa. When the chance for Teshuvah presents itself, it is incumbent upon us to answer the call of God in our lives. He comes knocking at the door, Kodo Dido Fake. The voice of my beloved knocks. Pischili, Ra'ayasi, Tamasi, Onasi. Open up for me, my dove, my beloved. Do we open the door to God? Or do we just stick with peanut butter and jam because it's just so much easier than facing the call of Ayaka? Well, if we can't answer the call of Ayaka, says the Rav, we will be forced, like Adam, into exile, where we will say, Echa. What is the quintessence of Galus? Let's go back to Megillas Echa. How does the whole lament, by Yirmiyahu begin? Echa Yashva, what's the question? Badad. Galus is solitude. Galus is separation. Galus is loneliness. We are separated between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a mechitzas habarzel. A mechitza. There's a partition of iron between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, all the while that we are in Galus. Galus is the terrible condition of distance between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Galus is badad, alone. Echa yashva badad. not only does Galus separate us from the Ribbono Shel Olam, it separates us from other Jews. Hashkafically separates us from other Jews. Geographically separates us from other Jews. We lose that sense of unity because we don't are not united under a Jewish king, under a Jewish commonwealth, in our Jewish land. So there are Jews in Australia. I'm sure there are fine, wonderful Jews in Australia, but we're separated from them. We're not Ola L'Regel at the same time. We read that here. Mibli ba'moe. There's no one coming up on the Moadim to the Beis HaMikdash. And there are Jews in Canada. And there are Jews, my son was just telling me the other month, I think, there's a Chabad in Alaska. And there's a Chabad in Barbados. And these are all fine, wonderful Jews, but Galus separates us. There's a distance. And even Rahmanul Litzlan, Jews in the same country, in the same city, are often separated from each other. We're separated from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we're scattered to the four corners of the earth. Eicha Yashva. The first question of Yirmiyahu is not Eicha Haya Churban. Eicha Ba'u HaBavlim. Eicha Nehargu HaBesulos. That comes later. But the first question focuses on Badad. Lonely, alone. The Jew is alone to wander to the four corners of earth with no uniting king. With no united commonwealth, with no land we can call our own, because even today we have a Medina in Eretz Yisrael, and the nations of the world fight us tooth and nail because they say, it's not yours. This is not the ultimate Galus. And furthermore, the sin that destroyed the Second Temple was Sinas Chinam. What does Basil's hatred do? It divides between Jews. Division, division, division. Echa Yashva Badad. So let's go to Parshas Devarim. Parshas Devarim is always read Erev Tisha B'Av. There are many reasons that we could explore, many reasons given. One of them is here. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Devarim is recounting much of their desert wanderings. Most obvious reason that it's read Erev Tisha B'Av is because Moshe recalls the sin of the spies. The spies came back, they spoke Lashon Hara, that was the first Tisha B'Av. God said he cried for no reason. So to 35a, Lamed Hey Amar Allah, from 99% sure, I will establish a crying for generations. Here's another reason that Devarim is read Erev Tisha B'Av. Eicha Esa Levadi, Tarchechem U'masechem V'rivchem. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Bnei Yisrael, I recall that before I established the court of judges to help me, how can I myself bear? It's a tircha. How do you translate tircha? I hope everyone knows what tircha is. How can I carry this tircha myself? Umasachem. How can I carry your burden? A masa is a heavy burden. The rivchem. How can I carry your quarrels all alone? So we should get men who are smart and discerning and knowing from their tribes, and I will make lower judges. This was Yisro's advice, by the way. In Perikir Chesed Parshas Yisro, Yisro says to Moshe, you can't do this by yourself. Don't you think it's very, very interesting? Are you paying attention? This is really fantastic. How does Megillas Eicha begin? Megillas Eicha begins by telling us, here we go, Pasuk Aleph. Pay attention. Eicha Yashva Badad. Eicha Yashva Badad. How is it possible that Yerushalayim sits alone? How is it possible that Sion is deserted? How is it possible that Knesset Yisrael is scattered to the Arba Kamvos Ha'aretz? We're divided from each other. We're separated with a Mechitzas HaBarzel between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. How did it happen? Eicha Yashva Badad. Look at Eicha in our parsha. Okay, look at this. Eicha Yashva Badad. Eicha Esa Levadi. Eicha Levad. Eicha Badar. You think I'm making this up? I can't make this up. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam could bring us the infinite, beyond infinite, impossible to describe in words, brilliance of Torah. Tihem Chayinu V'Arachaminu. Yirmiyahu says, Eicha Yashva Badar. And we've said that the curse of Galus is besides for the fact that we're in exile, and besides for the fact that we don't have our land, and besides for the fact that Shu'alim Hilchubo, foxes walk atop the temple mount. We face the condition of aloneness. And I ask you, are the Jews today not alone? Is the whole world not against us? Any friends that we thought we had today, boy, their true colors are showing loud and clear. We have very few friends. Some, very few, amongst Umasom. I don't know if you saw one example, Twitter. How many Jews are on Twitter? Baruch Hashem, I'm not on Twitter, but many are. Twitter has banned Magen David. Did you see this? Twitter has said that the Magen David is a racist symbol. They banned the Magen David. But every racist group can be on Twitter, but you can't post the Magen David. It's a racist symbol. We have no comforters from our lovers because all of our friends have committed a trespass and a treason against us. The condition of Golus is the condition of Badad. What does Yirmiyahu say? Eicha Yashva Badad. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Eicha Esa Levadi. You think it's an accident, the juxtaposition of Eicha to Levad and Eicha to Badad? What am I making this up? The existential condition of utter loneliness from each other makes us more susceptible to our enemies in the Umos HaOlam. In Achdus, we have the greatest strength. In loneliness, we have the greatest threat. It's true in the animal kingdom. If you've ever watched animal documentaries, you'll see it quickly. A herd of wildebeest migrating along the African plains, and there are lions in hot pursuit. The wildebeest that gets separated from the herd is the one that's picked off by the lion. Because it's separate, because it's levad, because it's badad. That's the weakest one. And we, as a result of exile, because we couldn't say ayeka, Adam was sent out of Eden. We were sent out of our land, out of our home, from beyond our Jewish commonwealth. And our greatest strength lies in Achdus, but we don't have it. Eicha Esa Levadi, says Moshe, Targechem Umasechem V'rivchem. Do you think one man alone can carry the quarrels, your burdens, your arguments? So we should appoint judges. It's a good thing. So I took the heads of your tribes. I took wise men, discerning men. I put them heads over you. Okay. Eicha Esa Levadi, Eicha Yashva Bedad. I want to share with you an unbelievable Das Kenemi Balei Tosfos. When Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to make this bigger so you could see, okay? Hope everyone's having a good time. I don't mean like party time, not such a easy topic, painful topic. But the 9 days are a painful time. And if we don't feel mourning now, we don't feel sad now, there's something wrong with us. If we don't feel the heaviness of Eicha during these 9 days of Av, if we just go about our lives without ever hearing the call of Ayaka, and we're really in trouble. And we're really not opening the door when the beloved knocks. Ayivatar Yaakov Levado. Look at this. Here's that word again. Levad. I'm in Sefer Bereishis, Paraglam and Beis, Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov is alone on the riverbank of the river Yabok. You all remember this. And an angel wrestles with him until the morning dawn. It's the Sarshel Esav, of course. I just found out this year I'm not supposed to say his name. That's what my daughter told me, and someone else confirmed it. I don't know if it's true or not true. Yes, I asked Rav Shai Shechter at the time. My daughter told me you're not supposed to say the angel's name. It's Samech Mem Aleph Lamed. So I'm not going to pronounce it for you. I never knew till this year. My daughter told me, Mom, you're not supposed to say his name. I didn't know that. I asked Rav Shai Shechter about it, and he said it's, I don't remember his exact lashon, but he said there's something to this. So anyway, this angel, this Sarshel Esav, whose name is Samech Mem Aleph Lamed, fights with Yaakov on the river Yabok, because Yaakov is all alone. And he fights with him until the morning dawn, and Yaakov is injured, so we can't eat the Gid HaNesha. You could all go look up Perek Lamed Beis, of Parshas Vayishlach. We can't eat the Gid HaNesha, because Yaakov is injured. Look at the Das Kenemi Balei Tosfos. Al Kain, She'asu B'nei Yisrael Shelo Kehogen, Shehi Nichuhu L'Leches Yechidi, Lo Asu Lu Leviya. The Bnei Yisrael, in this case literally, the sons of Yaakov, did not act appropriately. They left their father alone. They did not accompany him back over the river for those pachim ktanim. V'huzkak al yadam begid hanesha. And because they left him alone, he was injured in the thigh bone. the socket. Lakach asar lahem akosh baruch hu gid hanesha. Therefore God said, al kein lo yochlu b'nei so'as gid hanesha. We're not allowed to eat this sinew. Kidei sheyihuyu, so we should be careful, zihirim b'mitzvus levia. Every time we don't eat the gid hanesha, not that today we shecht animals, we have no idea, we buy it on the shelf. My mother remembers the kashering board, and her mother's home was a Holocaust survivor. It was just a yurtzeit, 29 tamuz actually, my mother got this yurtzeit. My mother remembers the kashering board. You would salt the chickens and the blood would run down. Today we buy everything sanitized in the store. But every time you don't eat the gid hanesha, you should remember to yourself, we did not accompany our forefather Yaakov. We were not careful with the mitzvah of Leviah, accompanying our father. Misham ve'elach, from that time and on. V'lekach huzhar Yaakov lelavos es Yosef benon. That's why Yaakov was so careful to be malava, to accompany Yosef, his son. And Parshas Vayeshev, when he sent him to find the brothers, the Das Kanim says, you know why Yaakov was injured by Esav? Because he was alone. Because the Bnei Yisrael should have accompanied him back over the river. They should not have left him alone. Because when we're alone, we're susceptible to the lions who want to pick off the weakest in the flock. Eicha Yashva Badad. That's the opening statement of Yirmiyahu's lament. Eicha Esa Levadi. How can I do this alone, says Moshe. But perhaps I was thinking that Moshe, in his cry of Eicha, is actually telling us the answer to how we can survive Galus. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eicha Esa Levadi Tarchechem Umasechem Verivchem. It's a rhetorical question. Can I alone carry your burden and your heaviness and your troubles and your quarrels? And that it's a rhetorical question. And Moshe says, I can't do it. So, havu lochem anashim chachamim unuvam v'yuduim l'shuvteichem. Gather for me men to help me. Perhaps in these psukim, in Parshas Devarim, which are always read Erev Tisha B'Av, Moshe is giving us the secret to surviving galus. Don't think you can do it alone. And don't think you should ever leave a Jew alone. If we want to be able to survive, Eicha Yashva Badar Ha'ir Rabasi Am Haisaka Almana Sarasi Bamadinos Haisalamas. We have to remember the Eicha Moshe Rabbeinu, which is always read Devarim, which is always laying to Erev Tisha B'Av. Moshe's question is rhetorical. Do you think I alone can carry the burden, the heaviness, the quarrels? Take it out of context. Do you think I alone can get through the galus, where it's such a tircha, every moment of living in galus, where it's such a burden to be going through galus, where there's so many quarrels in galus? I can't do it myself. Havu lochem anashim. Appoint men to help me. Because when we're together, it's possible. And when we're not together, it's impossible. Moshe's Eicha of Esa Levadi is an answer to Yirmiyahu's question of Eicha Yashva Badar. Yirmiyahu asks, how did this happen that she sits alone? And Moshe says, I'm going to tell you, if we have to be in Galus, keep in mind Moshe never entered Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to tell you how a Jew can survive, how the nation can survive. He rhetorically says, Eicha Esa Levadi Tarchechem Masachem V'rivchem. Do you think I alone can carry the tircha, the burden, the quarrel, the difficulty of Galus? I cannot do it alone, Moshe says. Get men, surround me with people who can help me. That's a secret to surviving Galus. Moshe's Eicha is the answer to Yirmiyahu's Eicha. And it's the rebuttal to the Das Kanim who gives us Musar. It says, how could the Bnei Yisrael leave their father alone? Vayivasar Yaakov levado. Vayavik ish imo at alos v'shachar. Who fought with Yaakov when he was alone? Esav. Who fights with us when we're alone? The Bnei Esav and the Bnei Yishmael. But if we're together, if we have achdus, if we counteract the sinas chinam, we're protected. Why does this have to do with Pirkei Avos? In Pirkei Avos, in Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav, chapter 6, verse 6, we are told that Torah is acquired through 48 qualifications. 48. We're not going to go through all 48. It's 8:30. What's relevant for our shir? Torah is acquired through 48 qualifications. And one of them is Nosei Ba'ol Im Chaveiro. Nosei Ba'ol Im Chaveiro. That's a secret to surviving millennia of galus. Carry the burden along with your friend. Reach out a hand and say, can I help you? Make a phone call to someone who's all alone all these months. Send a text that says, I'm thinking about you. Be kercholam when the world goes back to normal and we can do it again properly. Hachnasas orchem. Our strength in galus comes from Moshe's rebuttal to Yirmiyahu's. No se ba'olim chaveiro. And even if all you can do is daven for someone who needs a refuah shleima, this year is dedicated as chus for Zev ben Leia. And you feel that practically you can't do anything else, that's carrying the burden with your friend. I'm sure there's more we can do in many situations. But even when we can't, it's having our minds with our brothers, our hearts with our brothers. Understanding that Moshe is saying rhetorically, Eicha eselavadi tarchecham umasachem verivchem. I cannot possibly do this alone. And he's right, he can't do it alone. Havu lochem anashim chachamim v'yiduim l'shivteichem. Surround yourself with wise Jews, discerning Jews, loving, caring Jews. Make a kihila as much as you can. Remove the sense of levad. Because when we're levad from each other, Esav will fight with us. And when we're together, we have a koach. Says the Das Kanim, the Bnei Yisrael were a fault. I showed it to you on the screen. I'm not making it up. They should never have left their father alone. Revival says, Rav Yisrael Meir Lauschlita says in his Yachal Yisrael, what does Nosei Baal Im Chaveiro have to do with acquiring Torah? Chazal tell us the Torah is acquired, Perek Vav Mishnah Vav, in Perek Alvis, the Torah is acquired through 48 things. One of them is Nosei Baal Im Chaveiro. What does Nosei Baal Im Chaveiro have to do with acquiring Torah? It's nice midos ben adam chaveiro to make sure your friend doesn't feel alone, but what does that have to do with acquiring Torah? Rabbi Lau says, quote, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Torah is given to the Jewish people as a whole. One single individual does not own the rights to Torah. It's given to us as a kehila. Torah tzivulanu Moshe Marasha, kehilas Yaakov. Therefore, in order to attain Torah, a person must make himself part of a community. And if you're part of a community, you're Nosei Ba'olim Chaveiro. And if you're Nosei Ba'olim Chaveiro, you're not Levad. And if you're not Levad, you're counteracting the sin of Shechinim that brought us into this galus in the first place. And maybe if we show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're together enough, he will actually bring us back to ultimately the full together. Yerushalayim cries and she says, there's no one coming on the Mo'adim because she's alone, because we're alone, because we're separated from God. Maybe if we can hear the cry of Moshe, the rhetorical statement, Eicha esel avadi, I can't do this alone. Maybe if we get together, you won't be forced to be alone much longer. I want to finish with a story. This story is brought down. I'm quoting from the book Heroes of Spirit by Rabbi David Hoffman. It's also brought down first in Yaffa Alayach's Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. It was a cold, dark, wintry night in the Janowska death camp. Suddenly, a shout pierced the air. You are all to evacuate the barracks immediately. Report to the vacant lot. Anyone remaining in the barracks will be shot on the spot. Pandemonium broke out. People pushed their way to the doors, screaming the names of friends. In a panic-stricken stampede, the prisoners ran to a big open field. In the middle of the field were two huge pits. Suddenly, the inmates realized where they were rushing that dark night. In the Polish countryside, in a nightmare known as Janowska. Once more, the cold, healthy German voice roared into the night. Each of you who values his life and wants to cling to life must jump over the pit and land on the other side. Those who miss will get what they rightfully deserve. He imitated the sound of a machine gun followed by wild, coarse laughter. It was clear to the inmates it was impossible and they would all end up in the pit. Even during the best of times, it would be nearly impossible to jump over this pit. All the more so on that cold night, the prisoners were skeletons. They were feverish from disease and starvation. They were exhausted from slave labor and sleepless nights. Through the challenge that had been given to them, it was a matter of life or death. They knew that for the SS and the Ukrainian guards, Yimach Shemam, it was merely a game. Among the thousands of Jews on the field that night in Janowska was the Blush of a Rebbe, Rav Yisrael Spira Zatzal. He was standing with a friend, a non-religious, free-thinking Jew from a large Polish town, who the Blush of a Rebbe had met in the camp. A deep friendship had developed between these two Jews, and they looked out for each other. Rabbi, all our efforts to jump over this pit are in vain, said the free-thinking, non-religious Jew. We can only entertain the Germans. Let's just sit down in the pits and wait for the bullets to end our wretched existence. My friend, says the blush of a Rebbe, as I walk towards the pits, a man must obey the will of God. It was decreed from heaven that we must jump. And so we will jump. If we fall into the pits, we will reach the world of truth 1 second later. But my friend, we must jump. The Rebbe and his friend were nearing the edge of the pits. The pits were rapidly filling with bodies of Jews who had not made it. As they reached the pit, Rabbi Yisrael Spira, the Blush of a Rebbe Zatzal, closed his eyes and he commanded in a powerful whisper, "We are jumping," with a mighty effort. He and his friend left their feet and they jumped. When they opened their eyes, they found themselves on the other side of the pit. "We are here, Rabbi. We made it. We're alive," their friend repeated over and over. "Rabbi, I'm alive." "There must be a God in heaven," said the non-religious Jew. "Tell me, how did you do it?" The Blush of a Rebbe paused. "I was holding on to my ancestral merit, clinging to the coattails of my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, a blessed memory," said the Blush of a Rebbe. "But tell me, my friend, how is it that you, a non-believing, non-religious Jew, reached the other side of the pit?" Replied the Rebbe's newly religious friend, "Rabbi, I was holding on to you." Eicha yashva bedad ha'ir abasiyam. You want to know the answer of how we get through this terrible galus? And anyone doesn't think it's terrible, is living with their head in the sand. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's rhetorical statement. I can't possibly do it alone. And when you recognize that you need men around you, people around you, a kehila around you, Marasha Kilas Yaakov, when you're nosei ba'olim chaveiro, as much as we can, perhaps we will merit the kibbutz galios. I mean, answer the call of Ayaka. Are we spiritually sufficiently large enough in life? And if we're not, make a different sandwich. Maybe if we answer the call of Ayaka, we won't have to say Eicha anymore. And maybe if we hold on to each other by being nosei ba'olim chaveiro, and show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we counteract the sin of chinam that divides us with a havas chinam that unites us. Yerushalayim Yerucha, Berachamim, Tashuv. Zev ben Leah should be zochah to refuah shleim in the schus of the Torah we shared this evening. And Moshe Yehoshua ben Yehuda on the occasion of his Yortzeit, 20th Yortzeit, and 4 of should merit an aliyah neshama. I thank you all very much for learning with me. I wish you besoros tovos and a wonderful Shabbos.